not a safe place to have an on-ramp coming down the hill and so close to another one. So that's kind of the discussion we've had there as far as Buchanan Road and 248. I don't know if there's a whole lot. I don't know if there's a whole lot you can do with that.
Well, it would end up being a controlled intersection of the light. Mm-hmm. And it would be called the traffic and the speed. But again, the sight distance is
I feel though the more we improve, like at the high road or the outer road, that the less traffic you're going to have go out the other end trying to beat it. You know, if you can keep them from bottlenecking as much, more people's probably going to go out that direction.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. That's a lot of reasons people are going out that way is because they can't get out the other end.
Yeah. Okay. But that development did talk about they were going to pay for sidewalks, at least within their property. They were going to provide those for kids going back and forth to school.
Devin, do you know how many units they're putting in there?
Around 300 is what I've been
told. Oh, that's big.
It doesn't make
240 is what their initial presentation is.
That'll be big.
That's still about half the property.
Yeah, they've got more property they can do additional with. So.
What's the name of that development?
Four Men.
Oh, yeah, Four Men Development. Four M-I-N. Is whose name it's under.
Thank you.
Right behind L&J and all of them.
Okay, we've got anything else before we move on to the SIM card? Okay, item six on the agenda would be SIM card.
I'm Jason Wright, the Director of South Justice Area Council of Governments. I know you're probably expecting Ishwarya, transportation planner. She is currently stuck in Dallas with weather. I think maybe her flight finally boarded about 15 minutes ago on our way back from her Memorial Day weekend. But I've got one of our interns with us, Pratika. She's passing out. Last year's Taney County transportation use list, those were prioritized through the process. And then what I'm passing out is what is currently in the MoDOT STIP for Taney County. There is, I saw one Stone County project kind of at the top of that list. But just so you know, what's already been programmed into the STIP currently. As you all should be familiar, this is the process that we go through, the transportation planning framework with MoDOT to prioritize transportation needs at the regional level and at the MoDOT district levels. So we start by putting out a survey every year to collect new transportation needs throughout our 10-county service area. Or get adjustments to existing needs that we've got on the list. So, so I believe last year at this meeting, there was quite a few updates to the list that we have for SIMCOG to better align it with the list that you all maintain. As the Transportation Advisory Board. Of course, Taney County is always unique for our region, and the fact that you all are the only of our 10 counties that has a Transportation Advisory Board, so we appreciate you being well organized and doing continuous planning work. But the needs list that we passed out on this ledger sheet is what's going to go to our Regional Transportation Advisory Commission, Committee, or TAC. They will then see the top three road and bridge projects from each of our 10 counties and then prioritize those within our SIMCOG region. Once we have a regional transportation needs priority list, then we'll go to the Southwest District level, which includes the Joplin Area Transportation Study Organization, the Regional Planning Commission over the far southwest corner of the state, as well as another Regional Planning Commission to the northwest facing Clinton. So believe in total it's about 27 counties that come together to form the Southwest MoDOT District, and we reprioritize the projects across all the county partners' jurisdictions. That then goes up to the MoDOT central office and is what populates the statewide transportation improvement program or STIP. So it is a grassroots planning process that we have in our transportation planning framework here in Missouri. It all starts with you all. So I do not believe we have any new transportation needs added to this list this year, nor do I see any adjustments that were made in some language or any amendments made. But we just want to give you the opportunity to take a look at this list, see if it still aligns with your county priorities. Again, primarily focusing at the top three for our road and bridge list, because that's what we will take to our 10th county regional TEC. But we can adjust anything on this list to remove things up or down, also adjust some language, remove something if you know that a project's already been programmed. We try to compare it with the STIP, but we might have missed a project or two. As you can see, I think the top, your top need has been consistently, I think, our top regional transportation need for improving 86 and 76 Highway. I'll note that this one includes, this particular need improves the intersection actually at 86 and 65, and then also goes all the way down to the bridge. So I know we've got the widening project that's currently underway, but this includes both ends of that. And then potentially on to the airport as well.
I have a question about Newell Town. So I know that we ultimately like to have like an interchange at 86 at 65. But in terms of 86 itself, Jones Road to that 65 intersection and future interchange is wide now. And so I'm curious about then west of there, what do you all envision as the need for phase
2 on 86? I think, Frank, well, one thing we're trying to get at here is seeing 86 as a total project. I use Joplin a lot on the range line area. They have project after project after project that is all on that range line area, but they look at range line as a total thing. We're trying to get 86 into something like that, all the way from the airport to the Long Creek Bridge. That stretch between Jones Road and the Long Creek Bridge, a Super 2 in there, where you have some climbing lanes on the hills, and not everybody likes to hear me say this, but we need fewer at-grade accesses in there. A bunch of those subdivisions have 2 and 3 accesses going into a subdivision where they could drive a half a block and consolidate all of them into one, and then maybe make some acceleration or deceleration lanes on that piece of 86. I don't know that it serves anybody to take that Jones Road to the Long Creek Bridge and four-lane it, because the Long Creek Bridge is 2 lanes. So there's no use of wasting a bunch of money on that. But there is some safety improvements. Long Creek road that goes to the marina and the campground, downhill, turning traffic, and then a lot of subdivision entrances there. So I would say that could be the same thing actually on the west side of Long Creek Bridge. I think it's, is it Twin Islands is the estate? There's 2 entrances to Twin Islands there, and there's not a need for 2 entrances there. You could detour 1 block and have everybody go through one. But we used to hear a lot of testimony here at this from the Highway 86 people. But when you say, well, one of the things is there's too many small accesses onto the road that's causing problems, they don't want to hear any of that. They don't want to do any of those kinds of things. Well, I would say if you did a traffic study there, you would see that that could help some, and then, again, some turn lanes, a select number, I think, is there. The other thing with taking the airport access, the airport someday will grow. I know that doesn't seem imminent, but it will. And getting direct highway access is going to be a lot better than the securest route that we're using right now over a combination of different ownerships of roads going in and out of there. So the extension of 86. And again, seeing that as one traffic corridor. The other thing is towards the goal of doing closing all the aggregate intersections from all the way down 65 to elevate the 65 corridor. I think that 86 interchange is imminent. And with the kind of traffic loads that it's starting to see now, the storage lanes and all that, it's all nice, but it isn't going to solve the problem. We need to change the aggregate intersection. And as we improve 265, and I think that's in the 25 or 26 STIP, then that's even going to help 65, but it isn't going to be able to help 86. And so.
Yeah, and that helps understand the context and what you're talking about and what that means. I mean, that we were making progress on it with the governor's cost share, but that there were still sections left.
Yes.
So just on the bigger picture beyond the SIMCOG process, you know, we asked SIMCOG to submit 15 to us from their region, and that just put the other 15 from the three other regional organizations. And so Tenney County is always really competitive on your needs with that. But I do, I'll let Jason offer his thoughts. I feel like the association of the interchange of 86 brings it down a little bit. If it were associated more 65, it would prioritize higher in the district-wide process. That's how we got that 265 improvement program.
You can name that whatever you want. So, Frank, we take your word for that. Let Jason figure that out and get it as high up as you can.
Well, Christian County is going to do the same thing. Christian County, so they get tied together. That's a more compelling argument to the Joplin folks and Clinton folks about.
Yeah. So the corridor concept scores high, and we get that, and we're on board with that. But the real discussion there is to see that as a comprehensive project. But and the other thing with 86 is it does have pretty significant traffic counts. And what was it? The last time there was a major improvement was in the 50s. And so it still has some 10-foot sections of lanes. They're not consistent. There's some 12-foot lanes in there, but there's some 10-foot lanes in there too. So that's 4-inch center stripe from each other going 55 to 70, somewhere along in there, down through there. It's just not good. The other thing about some of that stuff that we see that doesn't necessarily resonate up the line is return on investment. Down in that area, the state of Missouri rakes in a lot of money. And we don't want to seem ungrateful for the kind of cooperation and work that's already been done. But there's a business aspect to this, too. And sometimes we just need to see that. And the idea, a lot of people say, well, John Morris just wants the state to pay for his stuff. And that's pretty disingenuous and not well-informed. If you take a look at how much he's paying for and how much the CID and the TDD is paying for down there, he's made a lot of private and other than state investment. There were self-taxing districts and all of that. So there's a significant amount. And just for the state of Missouri, it's just really a good investment to get some of that stuff cleaned up. And again, when we look at traffic accidents and fatalities and all that kind of stuff, I've always been uncomfortable with the idea that we have to wait till people get killed when we know ahead of time that Carlos is shaking his head because we got it out in front of the schools, too. I mean, it's the same thing. We can't do an improvement because of this, that, or the other thing until a few people get killed. Well, that seems to be kind of an arcane way of looking at things and kind of a draconian way of looking at things. Rural